السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا ما كنا نهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله غافر الذنوب جميعها إلا الشرك به، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وعلى صحبه وعلى التابعين. I praise Almighty Allah. We praise our Creator, the one who created us, and the one who created life, the one who gives us the energy to function and to serve, the one who created Adam and Eve, the earth and the heavens and the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who has created the stars and the moons and the galaxies as guidance and beautification of the heavens, so people can use and enjoy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who sends the rain and the winds to benefit and to warn mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who has revealed messages to mankind and gave us the blessings of sending the last of all messages, the Holy Quran, to include in it the last word communicated from Allah to man, male and female, guiding us on the righteous path so we can enjoy working hard to serve Allah, enjoy working hard to worship Allah, and enjoy working hard to bring harmony and peace, brotherhood and sisterhood into this world. And may peace and prayers be upon the souls of all of his prophets and the last of them all, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibadallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abiduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness that there is only one deity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Prophet Muhammad is his last messenger and servant sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanahu wa ta'ala الذي أنزل في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. And the meanings of these verses from the Holy Quran is, and one of the signs of Allah is this, that He has created for you from amongst yourselves mates, so So you can seek sakan, taskunu ilayha. Seek tranquility, complete comfort, complete standstill, dissociation from what's happening in the outside world, to seek what's happening inside you in partnership with your partner. And when you look at the Holy Quran, it did not address it to the man and it did not address it to the woman. It addressed it to both species. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So the woman can seek tranquility and comfort with her husband, and so the husband can seek tranquility and comfort into his wife. وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And he has injected between you mawadda. And the word mawadda, unfortunately, does not have a parallel in the English language. But the meaning of mawadda is the dynamic, continuous process of caring about each other. For instance, if you have a friend and you want to pursue mawadda and practice mawadda to this friend, you have to call him or her, you have to be in touch all the time with this friend, you have to ask how things are going, you have to worry about how they did in their life. This is the mawadda. And friendship and brotherhood and sisterhood is like a tree. The water for that tree is the process of mawadda. So if you are out of sight, you will be out of mind. So the process of mawadda is a process that is always commended by the Islamic faith, so we can take care of each other, so we can inject this process of love and affection amongst ourselves. Wa rahma, and mercifulness. If we really practice mawadda, if we really put interest and take interest in each other, knowing exactly what they are interested in, knowing exactly what makes them happy, knowing exactly how they are living, knowing exactly if they need some help, then we understand each other, and then we generate the rahmah, the mercifulness between us. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. In these are indeed signs for people who ponder and people who reflect. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reported to have said, الزواج من سنتي فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. And the meaning is that marriage is my recommended custom, tradition and institution, and those who deviate away from my sunnah, they don't belong to me. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, in this next month or 2 month khutbahs, I will be focusing on marriage as an important institution in Islam, an important foundation to the building of the Islamic building blocks. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he said that marriage is my institution, he said that if you really want to build the future of the Ummah, you have to get married. Because if a man is not married, he is not a complete man. And if a woman is not married, she is not a complete woman. In order for them to complete their faith, then they have to get married. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reported to have said, مَنْ تَزَوَّجَ فَقَدْ أَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ دِينِهِ فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي الشِّطْرِ الْآخَرِ. Those who get married, they have completed half of their faith. And when you get married, then you become responsible for a family and for those who deal with the family and the society around your family. That is the other half that you are responsible for, and that is the half which has to do with dealing and interacting with others. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, if we really want to open the hearts and the minds of America, of the masses in America to Islam, we want to present to America a real refreshing, promising and practiced institution to everyone. If we are successful in presenting a happy family, that is a happy husband, That is a happy wife. That is happy parents. That is happy children. People in America will take notice and will come back home to Islam. Let me tell you this. We can lecture from today until time immemorial about how beautiful Islam is. We can stand up and make television programs about how beautiful Islam is. But when people come from the outside and look at the Muslims, and if they don't find a happy family, if they don't find a responsible family, if they don't find children taking care of their parents and grandparents, if they don't find parents taking care of their children and grandchildren, if they don't find a family that works as a unit, they will never believe you. And that's why I believe that if you want to do the best da'wah, it is not through propaganda, it is through your personal behavior. And that's why you are personally responsible for the building block that Allah has given you, and that is your family. Let me conceptually give you some important concepts about marriage. In the Arabic language, the process of marriage is called the process of al-musahara. And the word musahara comes from the Arabic word yasharu, which means to melt. In other words, when a man and a woman decide to get married, it is not like they do in the West. They get together, exchange rings, have a big party, have dinner, jump on airplane, and they disappear. No. It is a melting of the man and the woman, and the melting of the two families. So the foundation becomes stronger. And that is, it's called al-musahara. So if you want to get married, you have to melt. You have to produce a strong bond, not only between the man and his future wife, or the wife and her future husband, but between the families, the parents, the children in the family, and every single member of that family. So, two units become one. And I say this because it's very important. I have had the personal experience with some Muslims, where a Muslim family got to marry from a non-Muslim family, and their son accepted Islam. And the family was so good practicing as Muslims, some of the members of the non-Muslim family accepted Islam. And not only this, the mother said to the Muslim family, please find for me a Muslim husband for my daughter. And we say, Allahu Akbar. And this is the thing that we want to practice. We want to practice what we preach. Because nowadays, when we see these things happen in our community, enmity erupts and problems start, and we go backward hundreds of hours of hard work that we put forwards for da'wah. Second, and this is very important, and listen to it carefully because not too many people mention it, and I'm going to mention it, and listen to it and understand it. Islam was propagated by encouraging intermarriages amongst tribes and different ethnic and national backgrounds. The Muslims of Arabia, where Islam started, had they insisted on only marrying between themselves, I promise you, Islam would have not come to Egypt, where I was born. Islam would have not come to Ethiopia, where many of you are from. Islam would have not come to America. Islam would have not been to Pakistan and India. Islam would have not been to Iran and Turkey. Islam would have not been to Africa. It is the process of business trading and intermarriages that brought whole tribes to Islam, saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And if you read the history of China, you will find that the Muslim traders on the Silk Road, they went in and dealt with some of the tribes, and the chief of the tribes were so impressed with the honesty of the Muslims that they said, why don't you marry from our families The Muslim said, but we are Muslims. The lady got to be a Muslim, and the whole tribe became a Muslim, and that's how Islam started. And we say, Alhamdulillah. Nowadays, we don't practice that. Nowadays, the African Americans insist that they marry African Americans. The Pakistanis want to marry Pakistanis. The Egyptians want to marry Egyptians. And we tell them, Islam came to melt all of these boundaries into one boundary. And the only requirement Islam puts on the husband and the wife is that they have to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and to be practicing Muslims, and that cannot change. In other words, I cannot stand up and say, well, you can marry a non-Muslim. It doesn't work. You have to follow the laws. But a white can marry a black, a yellow can marry a red, a Persian can marry a Pakistani can marry an American can marry an Indian. They are all the worshippers of Allah. They all believe in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. The third important concept in marriage is the concept of mut'ah, of pleasure. If you watch TV these days, and I'm really appalled because I have not watched TV until almost a week ago when somebody invited me to watch some of the new shows, you will find people being taught using the television set, the mass media, that being a gay and lesbian is pleasure. Enjoying sex is pleasure. But the word in Islam is a fascinating word. It is called mut'ah or mata'ah. And mut'ah and mata'ah means burden, carrying a burden. So it is not just something that you kill time with. It is something that you carry a burden with. If you want to have pleasure and enjoyment, you have to carry the responsibility with it. And that's why in Islam, we encourage every young man and young woman to get married as long as they can afford getting married psychologically and financially. And if they do, then they can have the pleasure. But there is no pleasure without responsibility in Islam. If you want the pleasure, you become a responsible. And the pleasure has to be done within certain guidelines. You cannot be a gay or you cannot be a lesbian, because that is not the institution of Islam. That's not the institution of Allah. That's not the institution of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You only can get that pleasure through the institution of marriage under the auspices of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the fourth concept, what is the difference? What is the difference? People say, why should I get married? Because when you get married, you stand up before Allah and you make a commitment and promise to Allah that you are going to honor a contractual relationship, and that contractual relationship has its rules and regulations that you stand with, and the same rules and regulations apply anywhere in the world as long as you say, I want to marry in the tradition of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fifth concept is about marriage. It is a partnership. It is a partnership of mutual benefit to the man and to the woman and to the society at large. It benefits everyone. It benefits the man, it benefits the woman, and it benefits the society. And let us not make mistakes. Marriage has three important pillars. Three important foundations that the marriage process stands on. If one of the foundations and one of the pillars is broken, the building becomes shaky. Three pillars. First, the physical pillar. There must be physical satisfaction between the man and the woman. And I tell you this, in 90% of the arbitrations, I've had the honor of arbitrating over the last 30 years between a husband and his wife. It was mainly because of the physical and intimate incompatibility between the husband and wife. And misery erupts. And sadness erupts. And we counsel the husband and wife to be honest with each other, to be open with each other, to talk to each other, and to enjoy each other physically, because this is why the institution of marriage was instituted. The second pillar, and that pillar has been completely erased from the society, especially in the West, and many of the Muslim countries that became westernized. And that is the spiritual dimension of marriage. You know, when you love something, people love the beauty. Man comes, oh, look at this beautiful young lady, I want to marry her. But you look down the road 30 years, people get old. And if you don't have the spiritual dimension, the love of the ruh, the love of the spirit of your partner, that marriage will die as long as you don't have that beauty, physical beauty. And when we were growing up, they used to teach us that yes, there is love of the jasad, of your body, but bodies do not last. What lasts is the spirit. The way you talk, the way you express yourself, the way you express your love and tenderness, the way you understand and solve problems, they have nothing to do with how fat you are, how smart you are, how good a beautiful eyes you have, if your hair is blonde or black. It has to do with you, and this is called in the Islamic way, al-nafs. See, each one of us has a body, and each one of us has a soul, and each one of us has hands and has eyes and ears, but they are all put together in a certain way, in a certain unique way, that is not reproduced and will not be produced in the future, because this is the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He calls it al-nafs. It is the unique soul that makes it. We need to love the soul. We need to go more spiritual, to love each other based on that. And this is something that is not practiced these days. And the third important pillar is the material resources of the man and the wife. They tell you money is not important. No, money is important. But it's not the most important. It is important. And it is the responsibility of the man. Because in Islam, the woman is not responsible to work. It is the man's responsibility to go out and earn a living so he can take care of his family. And he should grow spiritually and also grow materially. In other words, any of us men should not be sufficing ourselves by just one degree or just one job. We need to improve ourselves. Go through training programs. Go through programs that will upgrade your qualities so you can bring in more money to the family so your family can enjoy. Three important pillars upon which the marriage stands. Spirituality, physical intimacy, and material resources. If one of them breaks, the whole marriage breaks. And I have a theory. And I have been seeing it happen over the last 30 years. If there is an unhappy family, let me repeat this. If the husband and wife are not happy with each other, the husband will never be successful in his job, the wife will never be successful in her relationships and if she works in her job, and the children will be miserable. And when the children get married, they will form more miserable families. So it feeds in itself. So please, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, talk to each other, solve your problems, open up, and believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The sixth concept is that marriage is the process of building the future in flesh and blood. This is something that many people You know, you can go out to Bosnia and kill 50,000. You can kill 100,000, but you cannot kill 1,000,000. Because if you do 1,000,000, there are so many conscientious people that will stand up and say, stop. So marriage is the process of building the future in flesh and blood. It is not just a process of saying, oh, it is not number, it's quality. Yes, it's quality and quantity. And we tell you this because many of the Muslims have been following the propaganda of the West, saying, oh, it's enough to have one child. It's very expensive to raise children. It is not very good to have too many children. The Prophet teaches us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَزَاوَجُوا وَتَنَاسَلُوا وَتَكَاثَرُوا فَإِنِّي مُفَاخِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَّةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the meaning is, get married, intercourse and have children and grow in numbers, because I will be priding myself into you on the Day of Judgment. The problem is that people get married and have so many children and they are not responsible enough, the parents are not responsible enough to take care of them. And let me tell you a little piece of information that you have to remember. Many Muslims think, especially the educated, were sold a bill of goods. When I was growing up in Egypt, they used to brainwash me and my wife and say, the ideal family is to have 2 children, because this is going to make you very happy. Of course, the educated buy that theory, but the farmers and other educated, they don't buy. They keep growing in number. The same thing happens in Pakistan, the same thing happens in India, the same thing happens in the African American communities, the same thing happens in many parts of the world. So the number of uneducated keeps going up, and the number of the educated either stays as is or goes down. What's the result? The result is a complete decline of the societies. And that's why it is the responsibility of the educated, of the ones who know how to read the Quran, of the ones who know how to read and write, the ones who have been invested in intellectually, to marry and have at least 4 children or 5 children. Why? Because if we are here in America and we have 6 to 8 million Muslims, and we are all educated and we are the creme de la creme of the Muslim societies, if we have 4 children each, the population of the Muslims in 15 years' time will grow from 6 million to at least 20 million to 25 million, and we say Allahu Akbar. Because out of the 25 million, you will generate a market for so many things. For selling newspapers, for having a TV station, for having a radio station, for having a banking system, for having a grocery store system. And this is what the Latinos did in America. And if those of you who lived here 25, 30 years ago, they will know exactly what I'm talking about. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاللَّهَ يَغْفُرْ لَكُمْ وَيَكَفْرْ عَنْكُمْ زُيُوبَكُمْ إِنَّهُ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. اللهم اغفر لي. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا نهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله غافر الذنوب جميعها إلا الشرك به. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وعلى صحبه وعلى التابعين. إن شاء الله in the next khutbas we'll continue on this very important subject, and you can have the tapes after we finish the prayers إن شاء الله. I pray that we will all listen, and we will listen and we will follow inshaAllah what we listen to. Allahumma inni da'in faqulu ameen. Allahumma aghfir lil muslimin wal muslimat wal mu'minin wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka anta samia mujibul da'wat. Oh Allah, we pray that you will make the Holy Quran the articulacy of our tongue, and the wisdom of our mind, and the pleasure and the comfort of our heart. Oh Allah, we pray that you will bless our children and grandchildren and families, and that you will give us the best gift in this life. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And the meaning is, and those who say, Ya Allah, give us the best gift in this life, and that is spouses, husbands and wives and offsprings, children, grandchildren, that will be the comfort of our hearts to enjoy and the pleasure of our eyes to see the achievements thereof. Allah, we pray that you will accept our prayers, that you will guide us on the righteous path, that you will give victory to all who are fighting for your cause, that you will take away oppression from those who are oppressed, that you will give happiness to those who are sad, and that you will give speedy recovery to a very dear sister who came from the Midwest. Her name is Amatullah Akbar. She is laying on bed at the Martin Luther King Hospital, dying of cancer. Ya Allah, give her recovery. Ya Allah, give her comfort. Ya Allah, give her comfort and recovery. Ameen, thumma ameen. Allah, we pray that you will give speedy recovery to the ill and the sick, and that you will accept those who died before us in paradise. Allahumma akhfid al muslimin wal muslimat, wal mu'mineen wal mu'minat. Al ahya'i minhum wal amwat, innaka anta sami'un mujibu da'awat. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد أقم الصلاة ربنا الفحشاء والمنكر وذكر الله
أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله رسول الله استوى. Stand up in straight lines, don't leave gaps among your ranks. Salatul Jumu'ah. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم الله أكبر والله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. والله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام علينا. وبارك على سيدنا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.